Mike, hey, give yourself a hand clap, okay? Now, I didn't bring up on my church that I wasn't afraid of death. Prior to the Titanic, I was going to wait a little ladder two or three. My mom said, brother, do not play around that well. We don't tell Todd is that. I go play on the well. I jumped up on the well. I start walking around the well. Guess what? I fell head first. Nearly drowned. My brother George went and got my mother. My mother came and picked me up by the soles of my feet and started spanking me. She wasn't spanking me to beat me. She was beating the water out of my bones. And she saved my life. So I nearly drowned when I was a young boy. But listen, folks. God has promised us upon me. I was not going to drown yet. Because I was going to be in that ship. There's no way Satan can wipe me out back then. Because I was predestined to be on that ship. Well, a few years later, goodbye. I had to remind the church of this. I was 26 years old. My brother and I were bathing, what you call wading, in the ocean. And I couldn't swim. My brother could barely swim, but I couldn't swim at all. I was kind of afraid of water now. And you wonder why. I was pulled out of the well at first. Well, all of a sudden, the tides were coming up. And me and my brother were conversing about different things. And the tides were coming up. And next thing I was underwater. Convulsing and trying to swim. And I couldn't swim. Well, God gave the promise, took the tide water, and threw me back on the shore. Kind of like Jonah on the whale. And I survived another drowning. Why? Because there's no way I was going to drown yet. I was supposed to have an appointment that evening on that ship. Amen. Well, then a few years later, I get on a ship. I'm going to Palestine. I'm on this ship, on the Mediterranean Sea. And how many people want to take a guess what happened to the ship? It's Roy Lincoln's song. Here we go down again. Well, lo and behold, here we go again. But guess what, folks? There was another sister ship, and it took every single member up, and I perished on it. That was a close call. I perished not. Why did I perish? Because I was predestined to be on that ship. Amen. After that, I said this. They said, well, Reverend Parker, how did you feel about that? I said, the fear of death not for one foot disturbed me. For I believe that sudden death would be sudden glory. Ladies and gentlemen, to live is Christ. But to die is gain. What do you have to live for? Sickness, disease, problems, divorce? If you can get ahead, why not get ahead, amen? I look at myself like Esther. If I perish, I perish. Amen. Well, concerning this Titanic, like I said before, this Eva Hart told you, the buzzword was the Titanic was unsinkable. And I said to the congregation, remember it's unsinkable. Remember that? He said, someone from my store said, even God himself couldn't sink the Titanic. Wrong people say. Put not thy word God to the test, amen. Well, this ship was enormous. She was amazing. They called it a floating palace. It was 4 city blocks long. It took 3 years to build, or 2 years to build, and 3,000 workers. Almost 12 to 16 hours a day, every single day, everywhere else. It was a mammoth ship. A floating palace. It offered all amenities. And it was extravagant, obviously. It was the most beautiful ship that was ever built. And once again, what I tell you, man designed the Titanic. And it sank. But God designed the Noah's Ark. And it floated. Man's ways aren't God's ways. God's ways are always the best way. Let me step out of here. It's just like religion. Man tells you this. Begin to baptize. Join the church. Go to church. Be a good person. And when you die, you'll get to heaven. Where's that in the Bible? That's man's way. That's fake news, false news, false preaching. How do you get to heaven? Through the cross. That's God's way. It's a free gift. Why would you go to hell if you know it's a free gift? Because of pride and false information. Amen. Well, I received that. I'll never forget it. But I found out the ship. So the world goes, all these people were on that ship. John Maxwell, the richest man, was on that ship. His wife was pregnant. She survived, but his money couldn't save him. And then Mason Parker's brothers, the Strauss' boat died. Mrs. Strauss had a beautiful fur on, and she told one of the mates, she says, my husband can't go on the ship on the boat, I can't either. Where my husband goes, I go. If my husband dies, I die. She took off her beautiful long fur jacket and gave it to her maiden and said, ma'am, help me this morning, I will. And her and her husband got in their cabin and drowned him. What love. What devotion. Would you do that? Bring it on! I have no man in this. The man of God's life. That's what Jesus did all his life. He freely laid down his life so you can have a free ticket to heaven. Well, what he said, you'd be a fool not doing that. You'd be foolish not. Well, she said to the lady, you'll get this born out of it. The maiden survived. Now, the day was Sunday, April 14th, better morning worship service that night. But I'll never forget that day. It was a beautiful day. Filled with enough paper going on, I'll never forget it. The prior crew were a half dozen iceberg warnings. They were warned, the captain was warned about iceberg warnings. The unsinkable had shifted an iceberg on its star side or its right side. And it started to sink. Within 2.5 hours, the unsinkable Titanic will be completely submerged and go on its 2.5 hour journey to the bottom of the ocean. Yeah. So 2.5 hours for it to sink. Many other souls go that way. The captain's orders were this. Only women and children, like this heart said, only women and children in the lifeboats. Locked with the news, and I said this. Only women and children and the unsaved board the lifeboats. Because I wanted to make sure those who were had a chance to hear the gospel. That was my heart. That was my soul winner. Because I realized you might survive, and if you survive, you'll have a chance to hear the gospel another preacher, another time. So I told the people, only the unsaved should get the lifeboats. So I wanted to make sure the unsaved had a second chance. I ended up giving my life jacket to another person. I was sharing Christ with them, and he was arguing with me, and I ended up just taking my life jacket off and said, sir, you're going to need this, not me. And I gave him my life jacket, okay? And at that particular time, we knew the damage was coming. There was no time for theory or theological speaking. There was no time to argue plus and what about word baptism. Raise your hands, clap your hands. One saved, always saved. There was no time for that. It was just believe in what Jesus Christ shall say. I had to run into the docks, the decks, and I hit down some life jackets as I could. But I started talking to every single person. Well, I said, are you saved? Are you saved? And the ship was sinking, David. And I kicked in over here. There was a door, please help me. There's 1,500 people here who might not know you. And I knew, ladies and gentlemen, I couldn't swim. Because I was arguing with the gentleman. He started arguing with me about his salvation. Now, how foolish would that be? Someone arguing when they're about to die about heaven and hell. How foolish is that when someone gives you a free gift to go to heaven and you deny it? Because I was a fool. A fool believes in his heart there is no God. Well, guess what? All them fools, when they died, they found out there is a God, right? There is no atheist in hell, right? Well, I gave this man my life jacket. I pray tell it doesn't happen to him. I pray that he survived. And got born again and started living for God. But the ship was starting to sink. And paranoia totally set in. And I just went around and asked people, are you saved? And I just simply said, believe what the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That was my sermon. That was my last sermon, amen. That's all I have to say. Well, around 12:15 midnight, things really got dramatic. Things really got dramatic. The ship was definitely being submerged. And all lights flashed, the siren went off. People knew now it was an emergency. Okay? All the excessive drinking, all the gambling, all the affairs stopped. The games were over. The drinking was over now. The gambling was over now because they were about to meet God face to face. Amen? They were having a great old time. Their money bought all this stuff. $15,000 tickets to party and have affairs and just have a gorgeous self with you. That didn't be able to survive when you sat down. It was land. It was lofty. They feed themselves. It was all over, ladies and gentlemen. That stopped. That all stopped. The next 2 hours, ladies and gentlemen, 1,503 people would stand face to face with Almighty God. And in 2.5 hours, they're going to sit there, and they're going to see God. And God will say to them, what did you do with Jesus? How many people know that they wished they would give their heart to Christ when they were alive? Amen? I got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. Who's dead here? Raise your hand. Nobody is. You're all alive. You're breathing here. Anybody can't hear me? Does anybody not understand what I'm talking about today? That means everybody understands. You have the means. You can actually hear the gospel message. You're still alive. These folks, many of them chose not to receive it. And now they're paying the price for their pride, their arrogance, and the rejection of Jesus Christ as their Savior. Well, like I said, my story is very interesting. You know, all the money, all the power, and all the prestige couldn't save them that evening. All their money, all their gold, all their business affairs, all their clout meant absolutely nothing because they were stripped of everything they had. And they stand face to face with God with how they lived on this earth for 10, 20, 40, 60, 80 years. Amen. What does a prophet man if he gained the whole entire world and lose his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? What do you give in exchange for your soul? Money? Materialism? Things? $15,000 tickets on the Titanic? Oh, Lord, help us. I see a treasure chest here floating in the water. At 11:30, these pearls were probably worth $5,000-$10,000. At 12 o'clock, man, they were worth nothing. Because that baby was going to die or he was going to lose. That's how worthless things are. At 11:30, couple $1,000 pearls. 12 o'clock, worthless, amen? Nothing, it means nothing. It can't save your soul. I look at this chest and I see diamonds. Diamonds. Probably $20,000-$30,000 diamonds. I think that's going to get that person into heaven. Worthless. What's going to profit man to gain the whole entire world and lose his soul? Or what's going to man give in exchange for his soul? Diamonds? Worthless. Money. Silver. Gold. Coins. It was everywhere. The wealth was everywhere. Here's silver. Silver was that nothing. 11:30 was worth all kinds of money. 12 o'clock in that nothing. Amen. You couldn't purchase your way on lifeboat. All your millions. You know, folks, cold weather and freezing cold icebergs aren't a respecter of persons. They'll drown you just like they'll drown a millionaire. Amen? What shall profit man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Liquor bottle! Wine bottle! Those he called things never. It would never end. A party! Listen, if you paid $15,000 a ticket, you would have a good time, right? You're used to being, you're used to drinking, you're used to getting out of the hall. At 11:30, many of these people were drunk. The men drinking liquor, the women drinking wine. At 12 o'clock, they got real sober. They sobered instantly, amen? All the wine and drinking, all the liquor. They never read the book of Isaiah where it says, woe to the person that offers his neighbor strong drink. Well, that's drinking itself. There's strong warnings about liquor. I was praise the Lord, my parents told us not to continue this stuff. We see families wrecked by this. And let me tell you what, ladies and gentlemen. No one ever becomes an alcoholic on the first drink. If I ever become an alcoholic, and their family's ruined. How many people, folks, on the Titanic died with liquor on their breath? Let me show you something here. Here's the serious stuff. When you die, the Bible says that you're going to stand face to face with Almighty God. Now, you imagine this. Imagine this qualifier doing here. I don't believe in God. I made myself millions. He's drinking, having a good time, and he drowned in the Titanic. In the next 2 seconds, he stands before Almighty God, and God comes to him, and guess what? He talks to Christ with beer in his breath. How many people want a dog to sleep with their friends? You know what? We're going to do that's what you're going to do. I don't want to die with my wife right here. Why would you? That's just that way to meet Christ. And the drunken stupor. All the money. Couldn't save him. That he, the Bible says this. I'm going to wrap this up. But the riches that he has made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall cast away. Those over 1,500 souls cast away. Go now, you rich man, James said, the brother of Jesus. Weep and howl, for your misery shall come upon you. You have lived in pleasure upon this earth. But now your riches are corrupted. Ladies and gentlemen, you shall weep as you have said. What is your life? Seeking a vapor that appears for a little time. Here today, and go tomorrow. What are you sowing into people's lives? What are you sowing into your children's lives? What are you sowing into your body? You shall reap what you sow. Amen. This is good preaching. I should get another offer here. Folks, hell will be full of greedy, spoiled, unsaved people. Don't be one. Speak up with them. I've got good news for you. Gospel's good news. Gospel's good news. Well, here's what happened to me. Here's the end of my story. Not that it wasn't interesting enough. I found myself floundering in the water. The band was playing Nearer God to Me as they were going under. Every single band member drowned. The very last song was dedicated to God. Nearer God to Me. Sister Mark said that when she was going to church after the Titanic sank, she had to run out of church when they played that song because it reminded her of all the people dying. I know I had to find my daughter before it went under. I went and got my daughter, little Annie, and I held her face. I held her face and kissed her face, and with tears in my eyes, I knew I would never see her again. And I wrapped her in a warm blanket, and I gave her to her aunt, Jessie. Her name was Jessie, too. We gave her to her. I said, Jessie, take care of Nana for me. Knowing all the well, I would never see these two people again upon this side of heaven, on this side of heaven. It was a hard thing to do. I love my little girl. She just looked up at me, Daddy, you'd be all right. I just kissed her little face with tears in my eyes and gave her to her friend. They boarded the boat. And they were safely lowered down to the ship. Right before the same ship. It was the last time I've ever seen that cute little girl. There's a picture of her out there on the table out there with a little dog baby. Now listen to this. As the Titanic was now plunging in its 2.5-mile final journey to the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean, you heard this. You heard a loud crashing sound. All the glass, all the marble, everything was all shattered and breaking in half. It was a huge crash with the lights blinking and the sparrows going off. And then she now just sat like this and started going down. I found myself living in the water without a death. Remember, I gave a non-Christian my death. And people were jumping above the Titanic. Those who the saddest thing I've ever seen, people were dying above the Titanic. And then the other people breaking their necks, breaking their backs. There was blood everywhere. People were screaming and hollering and saying, Lord, save me! Lord, I'm sorry! Please forgive me! Help me, I'm drowning! People were screaming and then, ladies and gentlemen, the most saddest thing I've seen in the water is that people were floating for the women or their children froze to death. Get the babies froze to their mother's arms, dead. Oh, how sad. It's another big tear to your eyes. People were jumping off the side, landing on other people, breaking their backs. People were standing there with their hands in the air, trying to mumble, help me, save me. And as they spoke, they slowly froze to death. Some of them had their eyes wide open, had their right hand out. Hopefully they were asking God to save them, not another person, amen. When you're in a 28-degree water, you last 10 minutes to 30 minutes maximum and you die. You freeze to death. Most people didn't drown, they froze to death. Because the majority of people have life jackets on. But all that did was push through their death for 20 minutes. Getting through that survived, were very few people with life jackets and then people on the boat. As I was pulled back and forth in the water, remember I couldn't swim. I was grabbing dead bodies and hanging on to them and trying to look in their faces and grab them. Are you alive? I just said this. If you can hear me, believe what the Lord Jesus. legs were being frozen, my chest was being frozen, my lungs was being frozen, my heart was starting to stop. And I was going, I said, Lord, give me one last soul, let me speak my heart to somebody else. As I looked down, the people dying were screaming out, and it was horrible, friends screaming. I looked down in the field of the ocean and said, I saw the Jesus stand, why is this great? That was my congregation, ladies and gentlemen. And dead bodies were not going through my pulpit. And I just simply said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It was horrible. I felt like the prophet Joel. I looked at all these people screaming for God's mercy. Multitudes and multitudes that had not made a decision. Deciding where they're going to go the next minute. I just wonder how many people gave their hearts to Christ as they were drowning and screaming for God's mercy. Screaming for God's mercy. You know, I found out, ladies and gentlemen, as I was out there floundering in the water, slowly dying, it was reminded me that there were three classes of people on the Titanic that day. There was the rich, there was the middle class, and there was the poor, the spirit. So ladies and gentlemen, there wasn't three classes of people out there that day. Man, there's only two classes of people. You were either saved or unsaved. There's two classes of people. When I went to my boat, I had a boarding pass. There was no way you were going to get on that boat without your pass, without your ticket. It says, Reverend John Harper, second class pass, age 39, residence of London, England. I gave this man a ticket. He left on the boat. Ladies and gentlemen, do many people perish by anything? And they would just call upon the name of Jesus. That was their ticket to heaven. That was their ticket to heaven. Amen. And I left my Bible somewhere over here. May I have my Bible with me? Thank you. Let me read to you something. The book of Revelation says this. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now, ladies and gentlemen, pay attention here. The Bible says this. And whosoever was not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. How many people's names? Here, son. Did you have an eating pattern or so? How many people's names that evening had a ticket to go to Titanic, but never had a ticket to go to heaven? At New York City at the dock, they had a big old sign as big as these two portions of the wall. And guess what it said over the sign? It said, those who are known to be saved and those who are known to be lost. That in the name of everyone who was lost to see and were not to see. Saved, unsaved, saved, lost. Ladies and gentlemen, if your name's not in the book of life, you're lost. Amen? You have to make sure your name's in there. And how do you get that? How do you do that? Through Jesus. Through Jesus. Well, now, here's my story now. I'm closing. As I was climbing the water and the ship was now down and people were now hardly even screaming. You just hear people bawling. Please help me. Please have mercy on me. Please save me. Take my child. She's drowning. He's drowning. It was a horrible lifeboat. It was horrible. As I was floating on down, I see this man float towards me. And I said, sir, I said, no, sir, are you saved? And he said, said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And I drowned. I perished. I was dead with Jesus. That was my story with the Titanic. The bottom line is, folks, they all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And all of us, I don't care if you're Jewish, Catholic, Protestant, Muslim, 15, 25, 95, we're all born into sin, amen. What does it profit man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Let me answer your question, ladies and gentlemen. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? It can be today. It's as simple as that. It's simple as by asking. It has nothing to do with church. It has nothing to do with sacraments. It has nothing to do with word baptism or good works. That comes later for one. It has everything to do with asking Christ to give you a free ride to heaven. The Bible says very clearly, for the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. Why wouldn't you accept Christ? Why wouldn't you want to have Christ in your heart? Why would you want to go to a sinner's hell, amen? Someone please answer, why would you want to go to hell when you go to heaven? The Bible says this, God says, I wish that none would perish, but all come to save the house of Christ. He wants everybody not to perish, amen? That's why he sent his son Jesus. It's so simple, most people don't get it. Amen? They think they've got to join church. They think they've got to quit. I ain't quit drinking, but I'm a quit. I just work hard. It doesn't mean anything. You know what? Listen, before you get a bath, you don't got to get a bath, man. You don't get a shower, get a bath. Let the Holy Spirit clean you up. Just ask Him to clean you up. Come to Christ and ask glory, man. A sinner. It's so simple, but listen, folks. People in America don't want to do that.
They want to join the church. Money was good.
Folks, the Bible says that your works are like filthy rags. Come to Christ as you are. He that believes on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believes not the Son hath not life. Folks, Jesus is your door for eternal life. Receive it. Believe it. Conceive it. Amen. Go to heaven. You don't have to change one thing in your life. He'll change it for you. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You start reading God's word, and He'll change, amen. You won't want to drink anymore. You won't want to die with alcohol in your breath, amen. Because you love your Savior. Great love has put man in this, and a man laid down his life. Jesus laid his life down for one of us this morning. Please receive Him. Don't perish. Don't go to hell. It would be foolish to go to hell today if you're not saved, amen. How many of you know it would be really stupid to go to hell after today's service? But I love you. I know this is tough stuff, but you need to hear this. I love you enough to tell you the truth, amen. Because then Jesus says, the truth shall set you free. And who is in Christ is free indeed, amen. Be free today. Accept Christ today. Folks, today, call upon the name of the Lord. Last scripture. King David said this. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry thee daily, for that the whole are good and ready to He's ready to forgive you. He can't wait to forgive you. He's been waiting 2,000 years to forgive you. What are you waiting for? David says, I cry to thee daily, for Lord, thou art good and ready to forgive, and pledge us in mercy unto them that call upon thee, those who call him, and be saved. Friends, call upon the name of Jesus today, and spend all eternity with Jesus forever. Amen. Amen. If you ever head bowed and your eyes closed, and that the Spirit of God is sweeping through this church, just bow your heads and close your eyes. The Bible says this with very clear instructions. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, it's very easy. And thou shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him up from the dead, thou shalt be saved, period. The Bible says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. You must believe in Jesus and confess him as your Savior, period. Keep your eyes closed and head bowed. If you would like to be honest with the Lord this morning, with all sincerity, you want to called upon the name of Christ the very first time, and you want to be saved. You don't want to go to hell. You wanted separation. You might not understand everything. You're saying, what a horror is it if I died right now, knowing I'm sure, and I was spending eternity in heaven, and that book of life, I never even heard that book of life, but I want my name written in that book. How do I do that? You accept Christ as your Savior. If anybody is out there who's never done that, simply show me your hands by faith. You're going to call upon the name of the Lord today for salvation. No looking around, just be simple. Could anybody please be honest with God? I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to take you before. I'm just going to answer this one question. Teenagers, young adults, men, women. Anybody out there who's not sure about their salvation, simply raise your hand. Show God your hands. I'm looking. I'm looking. I can't imagine no one here. This is going to make a man that has foolish presence of someone in this church service that doesn't know Jesus. And if you're being embarrassed and feel guilty, that same sin, don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. I'm going to embarrass. I'm not going to embarrass you. You're going to get a new life today. I'm going to ask you one more time as the Spirit falls. This will be the last time I'm going to say this, and I'm going to close the church service. Is anybody out here? And every head bowed, every eye closed. Is anybody out here who wants to be honest with God? You don't want to lie to God. Just say, Lord, if you need forgiveness, I'm going to ask you to stay and simply raise your hand. Anybody out there? Okay, well, praise the Lord. Look up. Now, you're telling me that you're a born-again Christian, and at one time in your life, you knelt before the cross, and you said, Jesus, forgive me. Please put my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Why you not raised your hand? You've done that. So I want to congratulate all of you, because you are all now part of the family of God upon your confession. Amen. Now, if you don't want to raise your hand, I'd like to lead you in a prayer. Because this prayer will save you. But this kind of prayer, if you were still playing games with God this morning, this is the prayer you want to pray on your own. You want to go home to yourself, sit with God, get in my bed, alone in the world, in your car, and you say this prayer. You say simply, Dear Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner in need of thee. He's come to my heart and saved me. I accept you as my Savior. Now help me live a godly life. Amen. Amen. Let me look over real quick. For all those here who might be on the fence, you're not serving God the way you should be serving God. Amen. You need to get right with God again. You need to get back in the fire with God. For all those who don't soul in and think it's the pastor's job, shame on you. You need to start sharing Christ with family and friends. You need to start getting excited about what Jesus did for you. Amen. Because folks, hell is real, and so is heaven. I pray that all of you.